Welcome to the Teresita Glasgow Blog Talk Radio Show with minister, author, and entrepreneur, Teresita Glasgow.
Hi, everyone. This is Teresita Glasgow, and this is the Teresita Glasgow Blog Talk Radio Show. You know, I did something on the last episode, episode week 9, for the reading that we're doing on this wonderful book, The Principle and Power of Vision, Keys to Achieving Personal and Corporate Destiny by Dr. Miles Monroe. I've been reading through this book for weeks, and we're on week 9, and we had a technical snafu. And so what I'm doing now is I'm making another recording of it for my listening audience, because this is a powerful book, very important chapter. Didn't want you to miss it. And we had some technical difficulties. And so I've just uploaded this information for you. And we stopped in this chapter on employ the provision of vision. Employ the provision of vision. As I said, this is week 9, and the reading has been ongoing. And so one of the things I'd like you to know, if you hadn't heard me say this before, is that this particular book is being read, and it's not being read verbatim. I'm not reading each and every word. I'm only reading the highlighted sections and certain call-outs in the book so that you can get the kind of the gist of the information that's being given. However, I do recommend that you go to Amazon.com and pick up a copy of this wonderful and awesome book. So this section begins with the reading. Vision and provision go together. Perhaps your dreams are so big they almost frighten you. You don't see how they could ever come to pass. Let me assure you that your initial apprehension is normal. God often gives us dreams that confound us at first because he wants to make sure we don't attempt to fulfill them apart from him. Reading another highlighted section. Rest assured that God will never give you a vision without the provision. Your provision, however, is usually hidden until you act on your vision. Whatever you were born to do attracts what you need to do it. Therefore, you first have to establish what you want to do and begin to do it before the need can be met. Most of us work in reverse. We like to see the provision before we start, but faith doesn't work that way. When we take action, then God manifests provision. And I thought that that was very interesting point. God has already blessed you with everything you need. Your provision is usually hidden until you act on your vision. God already prepared everything you would need before he created you so that you could do what you were born to do. He knew what you needed because he chose you for your vision a long time ago. And this is another very interesting point, because what it says is that not that your vision was chosen for you, but that he chose you for your vision. I thought that was very powerful and very interesting, in fact, because I think we usually think of, you know, God has like a box of visions sitting around. And when we're born, then he picks one and drops it on us. And according to this book, just the opposite is true. We are prepared for the vision. So everything is already built in. Misconceptions of prosperity. Prosperity as excess. One of the reasons we have trouble understanding how God will provide for our vision is that we have a false view of prosperity. We think prosperity means excess, and that is why we worry when we don't already have money in the bank to fund our visions. Further, our concept of prosperity is more like hoarding. In the Bible, hoarding is referred to as gluttony. A person can be gluttonous even when he has no money or food. Gluttony is a state of mind in which a person never feels he has enough to satisfy him. Whatever you hoard will begin to destroy you. Moving on to the next section. Prosperity as future needs met today. And remember, these are some of the misunderstandings we have about prosperity. So this says prosperity as future needs met today. Other people have the idea that prosperity means all our needs should be provided for well ahead of time. Jesus addressed this misconception. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Book of Matthew, chapter 6, verse 25, verses 31 through 33. Here's another highlighted section. Why do you want something that you don't need right now? You are focusing on the wrong thing. Seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, and these things will come with the job. Don't pursue them. They will follow you. And here's a call out. Prosperity doesn't mean tomorrow's need is met today, but that today's need is met today. Prosperity doesn't mean that tomorrow's need is met today. It means that today's need is met today. So I read that twice, because once it was a call out, now it's a highlight in the book. Okay. When we get to tomorrow, the supply will be there. We must understand what prosperity is in order to grasp the foundational principle of how God provides for our vision. The nature of real prosperity. One of the Hebrew words that is translated prosperity in the Bible is shalev. That's S-H-A-L-E-V. And examples of that can be found in Psalms, the book of Psalms, chapter 30, verse 6, the book of Psalms, chapter 73, verse 3, which means tranquil, being at ease, peaceable, and quietness. Another Hebrew word for prosperity is shalom. And you can see that in the book of Psalms, chapter 35, verse 27, book of Jeremiah, chapter 33, verse 9, which means peace, safe, well, happy, and health. The Bible was saying that prosperity is peace. Prosperity is also harmony. When things are in balance, we say they are peaceful. True prosperity means to be free of worry and free and fear. True prosperity means to be free of worry and fear, and reflects a state of contentedness, that everything necessary is being taken care of. Amen. Okay, here's the next highlighted section. When Jesus said the Heavenly Father feeds the birds, he meant that everything they need has been made available for them, but they have to go and get it. Wow. Another section. Whatever God calls for, he provides for. A principle we talked about earlier applies here. Whatever God calls for, he provides for. It's the same way with God. Okay, I have to move up and read a little bit more of this. God provides us with what we need, though usually not directly. If you are a college student, your parents may provide your tuition to go to school, but they cannot make you learn. The provision is made, but the work is up to you. Your parents cook food and put it on the table for you, but you have to eat it, and you have to get the energy from it yourself. It's the same way with God. He provides, but he doesn't do the work for us. We have to go after what God has provided as our supply. Another section. Every purpose has its own prosperity. Another fundamental aspect of provision is that God has designed every purpose with its own prosperity. Your purpose has built-in provision for it. God never requires from you what he does not already have in reserve for you. Here is the key. Your prosperity is directly related to your purpose in life. The nature and degree of your prosperity is determined by what your assignment is. Very interesting. Moving right along here, just reading the call-outs in the highlighted sections. Your purpose has built-in provision for it. Sometimes God doesn't give us all the resources we need to fulfill our vision because He has called other people to provide them for us. There are people who went to school to learn a skill just to work for you. Right now, they're in the preoccupation job because you haven't started your business yet. All the resources you need are already in place. They will become visible in God's timing once you start pursuing your vision. Now, that's fantastic, and that's extremely interesting. Another section. Provision is right for the vision. God is a God of provision. He is Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. He provides everything, but He provides it after you began the work on the vision. Your obedience to your vision affects not only your life, but also the lives of those who will work with you. This means that obedience to vision is not a private issue. It affects everyone who is supposed to work with you and be impacted by your life. And I'm going to skip down and read this next highlighted section. The point is that God provides for all the needs of our visions, no matter what they are, large or small. Another section. Use your provision. Several years ago, when I was visiting a friend in Detroit, I said, you know, I've always wanted to tour the Ford Motor Company. I've heard a lot about Mr. Ford and the way they make cars there, and I'd like to see it for myself. We ended up spending a whole afternoon there. The man conducting the tour showed us some massive buildings, including the corporate office and the place where they designed the cars. Then he took us to look at another big building and said, this is where we do all the production work on the parts. We went through what looked like one massive building, but there were smaller storehouses within it. Every section had a different name, and there were millions of parts stored in each section. I pointed to one section and asked the guide, what is this? And he said, these are the cars we're preparing for 2005. I said, wait a minute. It's only 1998. He said, yeah, but we are at least 5 years ahead. This one is for 2002. This one is for 2003. And this is 2004. And this one is for 2005. When I asked if I could see the cars, he said, no. The cars themselves are not yet made. We make the parts first. However, these are not the parts we will use on the new cars. These are the replacement parts in case any repairs are needed. And then there's a call out here that says, clean out your heavenly warehouse. The company makes the spare parts before they build the new cars. Then they make the cars. That's why when anything needs to be replaced on your car, the part is already prepared. They prepare what you're going to need before you even buy your car. As I listened to our guide explain this, I felt as if the Holy Spirit was speaking to me right in the warehouse. He said, that's exactly the meaning of Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Everything you're going to need for your vision is already provided for. I have it all reserved in big storehouses in heaven. Even before you came on the scene, I had it all prepared. And that's excellent. Just reading that, that's just excellent. Here's a call out. It says, God is not short on anything you need. Okay. Going to one of the highlighted sections, just skipping through some things. Where is it? It's waiting for you to ask for it with confidence. God is not short on anything you need. So basically he's saying here that your provision is laid up in warehouse waiting for you to ask for it. Okay. Another highlighted section. Again, knowing God's will for your life is the key to your prosperity. 5 specific ways God provides provision. I now want to discuss 5 specific ways that the scripture teaches us to provide, God provides for resources, financial and otherwise, that we need to fulfill the vision that he gives us. And the first one says the land and its inherent wealth. The first way God provides for our vision is through our ability to obtain and use land and the resources inherent in it. Another highlighted section. Those who are willing to work hard to go the extra mile are the ones who get deep into wealth. And there's a lot of other things and material in this book, but I'm just reading the highlighted section, so I'm moving along. According to the Bible record, therefore, land seems to be God's first order of prosperity. I'm going to repeat that. Land seems to be God's first order of prosperity. My beloved friends, some of us have been so heavenly oriented that we have practically forsaken the earth, which has been given to us by God. And I'm skipping through to the next highlighted section. Yet God didn't create humanity for heaven. He created us to fulfill his purpose on earth. Meekness means discipline and self-control. And then the second thing here, because he was giving us the five specific ways God provides for provision. And the second one here is the ability to work. The second thing through which God provides for our vision is our work. Work is passion that is generated with purpose. Cultivation involves both creativity and effort. After another significant aspect of work is that it reveals your potential. You cannot show what you have inside unless demands are made on it, and demands are placed on it by work. It is through worship and communion with God that humankind receives vision, vocation, and work. Let's see. We are to aspire to fulfill God's purpose while developing and using the gifts and talents he has given us. Your work reveals potential. See another section. If we're still working at the same level we were working at 10 years ago and haven't improved at all, there's something wrong. God wants us to go to work to multiply his kingdom on earth through our visions. And then the third one is the ability to cultivate. Third, God has given us the ability to cultivate things. The Lord God took the man, and he goes through the story here of how God told Adam to cultivate in Genesis. And here's a highlighted section. He has given us the ability to cultivate as one way of reflecting his image. A large part of the gift of cultivation is the ability to see potential in what others view as wasteland. And then he goes into this little story that I really, really like. So I'm going to read through this story for you. Let me tell you a story of Hog Island in the Bahamas. Years ago, people used to dump garbage on the island, and the wild hogs there used to scavenge through all the mess. It definitely lived up to its name. There were also wild dogs roaming around. No self-respecting person wanted to be seen there. Then one day, someone came to the Bahamas, flew over Hog Island, and saw something there that no one else could see. He took Hog Island, cultivated it, and made it productive. Today, Hog Island is the destination for vacationers. It has a new name. It's called Paradise. What a change. Can anything good come out of Hog Island? All it takes is someone to manage it. And here's a call out. Cultivate what is around you and make it a resource for your vision. You can cultivate what is around you and make it a resource for your vision. God wants people who can dream and then act. Let's see. Cultivate what you own and further your vision. Here's another section. The ability to preserve and reserve for the future. And so that is, let's see, this is the third one. This is the fourth one then. Another way God provides for your vision is by giving you wisdom to preserve and reserve for the future. For example, and then he goes into Joseph and how he preserved things for his family. And here's a highlighted section. There are people whom God calls to be planters, and God will send them ahead of you to prepare the way for you. God will also put things on reservation for you so that when you need them in the future, they'll be there for you. Don't only plan for today, but also for tomorrow. God knows the future, and he will give you insight to put things on reserve for times when you will need them. God will bless you when you put things on reserve. And here is the last one, which is number five. Another way God provides for vision is by enabling you to help future generations with their dreams. And then those are all five. And let me just read this last part. What is your vision of inheritance for your descendants? God wants us to think generationally. He is always thinking and speaking in generational terms. Therefore, when he speaks to you, he is also talking of your descendants or the generations that will follow you. And that's the end of our reading for today. Awesome, awesome book, wonderful book. The Principles and Power of Vision, Keys to Achieving Your Personal and Corporate Destiny by Dr. Miles Monroe. Thank you for tuning in to the Teresita Glasgow Blog Talk Radio Show.
You've been listening to the Teresita Glasgow Blog Talk Radio Show. Teresita Glasgow is the founder of In His Season Incorporated, a Christian corporation whose mission is to motivate, stimulate, and encourage individuals to reach beyond their limitations to their God-given possibilities. Visit us online at inhisseason.com for more information on Teresita Glasgow, In His Season Incorporated, or to get your copy of her books, Destiny, 7 Steps to Finding and Fulfilling Your Purpose in Life, and How to Start a Business on a Shoestring Budget. Be your own boss now. Now available for download on Amazon Kindle. Visit Amazon.com for your copy today. You can also download a copy of this show as well as archived shows. Just visit blogtalkradio.com/Teresita Glasgow or iTunes.com to subscribe. Check out Teresita's blog, Salt and Light, for daily inspiration and free information designed to enhance your business and your life. Be sure to follow Teresita on Twitter and like her on Facebook. Thank you for listening, and join us again next time for more of the Teresita Glasgow Blog Talk Radio Show.